And now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Berez.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett. Honored to have you join me again this week. I have asked my dear friend, Pastor Chuck Baldwin, to come back on our program. And today we're going to discuss erasing Palestine. Pastor Baldwin, welcome back to Power of Prophecy.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. It's great to be with you again.
I always enjoy our chats. I've been looking forward to this one. And the sad thing is, we're seeing a genocide played out on the nightly news, and it seems that if you speak out against it for the wrong side, you're castigated, you're canceled. And nobody's talking about the Christians that are being victimized.
No, what this clearly shows is what a lot of us have been trying to warn, especially evangelicals, about over the last several years, is that we have a political system, a entertainment system, a media system, and unfortunately a religious system that is largely controlled by the Israeli lobby and Zionist Israel. Anything that you would say contrary to the narrative put forth in favor of the Israeli war against the Palestinian people. And let's be clear. This is not a war against Hamas. This is a war against the Palestinian people. Benjamin Netanyahu has been salivating for this opportunity ever since he's been in office. The idea and the goal is to completely eliminate the Palestinian population from Gaza and the West Bank, and to claim that territory exclusively for the state of Israel. That's been the goal since 1947. And in December of 1947 was when the Zionist army began their ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. They had lived there for 1,000 years, and they eventually succeeded through the various wars leading up to the war of 1967, the Six-Day War, in taking the population of Palestine, which is comprised of mostly Muslims, but also a sizable percentage of Christians, as you just said, and forcing them from their homes and from their lands into those two small bodies of land called Gaza and the West Bank. And the goal of the Zionist agenda has always been to completely eliminate the Palestinian population from those two areas. And with this attack by Hamas, it gave Benjamin Netanyahu the excuse and the opportunity to do what he's been doing since October 7th.
It gave him carte blanche.
Yeah, and the narrative is you cannot say anything negative about Zionist Israel. Nothing. And in evangelical churches, you are, as you said, ostracized. And more than that, you are labeled all kinds of wicked titles. And, you know, you'll be excommunicated from the assembly. You'll be called an unbeliever. You'll be called Satan. You'll be called all kinds of things. All because you do not support the Zionist state of Israel and give them, as you said, carte blanche for whatever they want to do, which is exactly what Joe Biden has done. He has given Netanyahu the total freedom to do and to kill and to murder as many people as he wants, as many children as he wants, as many women and many elderly people as he wants, with impunity. He has, you know, this is a dual culpability here. I mean, we have to put the blood on the hands of the Zionists and Netanyahu, but we also have to put the blood at the doorstep of the White House and the Congress, the politicians of this country who have supported this genocide in Gaza. But again, my statement is, it just shows you the power and the influence of Zionist Israel over the political system of this country. I follow Colonel Douglas McGregor occasionally, and he had a tremendous interview not too long ago when he was talking about all the everything that was going on in Palestine. And he was noting that what this does, and basically he said the same thing that I said in some messages I preached on the war after all of this happened. And, you know, to hear this from a professional military man, a decorated army officer, tank commander, who was appointed by President Trump to a couple of cabinet level positions, but the Senate rejected his nomination. I wonder why. But Colonel McGregor had some very amazing things to say about Israel, and what I was saying is what he said. And when I saw this, I thought, you know, this is amazing, because I'm coming from a theological perspective. And he's coming from an international political military perspective. And he's saying the same thing. And what, you know, I've said is what I just said, is that Israel, the Israeli lobby and Zionist Israel controls the political agenda, media agenda, entertainment agenda, religious agenda of this country. And he basically said the very same thing in his interview, that Israel is in control of the White House. It's in control of the National Security Administration. It's in control of the Pentagon. And therefore, they have no kind of ability to resist or to object to anything that Benjamin Netanyahu wants to do.
You know, it's the thing that people don't really understand, and you pointed it out, Israel has committed crimes against humanity since December of 1947, but they have never been brought to bear for their crimes.
That's exactly right.
This just flies against everything that a Christian should believe. I mean, you know, we constantly hear guys like John Hagee and all the evangelical pastors saying that if you bless Israel, you'll be blessed, and if you curse Israel, you'll be cursed. But
yeah.
Honestly, Chuck, the old covenant is gone.
Yes.
And we have a new covenant. And nobody seems to care that this old covenant has been replaced with a new and better covenant. We still have grasped hold of the garments that the Old Testament is, and we claim that that is what we're supposed to believe. But the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But what have they done to the Palestinians? Not Hamas, not any terrorist organization, the citizens.
I've been in to Israel and to Palestine, and when I was there, I traveled all around the area, including the surrounding countries, such as Egypt and Lebanon and Syria, etc., Jordan. And I have the privilege and the opportunity to preach in two churches there while I was there. One was located in the city of Jerusalem, and the other was located in the city of Bethlehem. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most remarkable experiences of my life to preach in both of those churches, and here's why. 95%, and I'm being generous, it's probably more like 98% of the congregation, both congregations, the one in Bethlehem and the one in Jerusalem. Now, these are all born-again Christians. They love the Lord like we do. They believe the Bible like we do. They worship the Lord Jesus like we do. You know, they are Christian in every sense of the word. And 95% plus of these Christians in the two churches I just mentioned were Palestinians. They were not Israelis. They were Palestinians. And Jerry, I want to tell you, I found the Palestinian Christians, this is my experience. You know, we can talk politics all about it all you want. This is my experience. This is what I saw and felt myself. The Palestinian Christians were some of the most compassionate, kind, loving, Christ-like people I have ever met in my entire life. I don't know that in my extensive travels around the United States, I've traveled over 1 million miles throughout the, in fact, about 1.5 million actually, about the continental United States. Been to every state in the Union except four. And I don't really know that I have ever met Christians on the level of spirituality as were the Palestinian Christians that I met while I was in Palestine. You know, people have never been there. They've never met the Palestinian people. And some of the Palestinians that the news, you know, trots out in front of us are not the Palestinians that live there. And they're certainly not the Christian Palestinians. And while the Palestinian Christians are a minority in Palestine, and that's because of the genocide committed against them, by the way, and it's because of the ethnic cleansing that has taken place. At one time, the Christian population of Palestine was much, much larger than it is now. But it has always been significant, even back in the days whenever the Muslims and the Palestinians were living together peacefully in Palestine, which they did for the most part for 1,000 years. And people don't understand that. They think that all Muslims want to kill Christians, and that's just not true. There are some radical jihadists, of course, within the Muslim population that hates anybody who's not of their particular Muslim faith, like the Sunnis hate the Shias and the Shias hate the Sunnis and all that. But for the most part, these Palestinians and the Muslims of Palestine lived together peacefully for 1,000 years. And again, while they were never the majority, the Christian population of Palestine was always significant. And it remains to be that way now, with the exception that with the genocide taking place in Palestine right now, well, particularly in Gaza, it is really a distinct possibility, Jerry, that the Christian population of Gaza could be completely eliminated. You could make an argument, and I do, that that Netanyahu is targeting Christian churches, Christian hospitals, Christian schools. He's targeting the Christian population. And he's trying to eliminate it. And he's doing a pretty good job because he's killed so many Christians that the size of the population in Gaza now, the Christian population, is much reduced. And I haven't seen a study on this, but I would like to see one. I think eventually we'll, when all this is over, at some point we're going to see a study on this. Exactly what was the percentage of Christians to the Muslims that were killed in Gaza. And I think we're going to find when that study is conducted that the greater percentage of people that were slaughtered, that are being slaughtered in Gaza now, are Christians. Muslims are too, don't get me wrong. Muslims are dying by the thousands. But there's no doubt that Netanyahu has a special hatred for the Christians in Palestine, always has, and is targeting them in his bombing raids and so forth. So this is what evangelical Christians have complete ignorance regarding. They don't understand the people that live there. They don't understand the Christians that are there. They don't understand the hatred of Zionist Israel against people of, you know, anybody who is not of the Zionist philosophy, but especially Christians. I mean, this thing has been set up. Do you remember back before the war began on October 7th, the pictures that were coming out of Palestine? And I thought this was strange at the time, because we kept seeing media reports of Christian missionaries and Christians in general walking around Jerusalem and other parts of Israel. And little children would come up to them and kick them in the shins and throw dirt on them and cuss them. And elderly Jewish people would come up and curse them and spit on them. And this, we saw quite a few of those videos previous to the October 7 beginning of the war. And I thought that was strange because it's always taken place. Jerry, can I take a few more minutes on this one?
Yes, please.
Okay, so while I was there, and of course most Christians, they go with tour groups. And if you're with a tour group that's highly regulated and controlled by the Israeli government, you are told where you can go and where you cannot go, and they want you to see only what they want you to see. They don't want you to see anything that might give you a reality check. Now, when I was there, it was before most of the walls and the guard posts and the wire and, you know, all of the things that now separate Israel into these corridors that allow the Israeli government to herd Palestinian people like cattle from one place to the other. I mean, when I was there, most of that was not built yet. It was under construction, but most of it was not built. So if you wanted to, you could get away from the tourist traps, you know, and see Israel for what it really is. You know, as long as you stay at the hotels and you go to the tourist areas where people are making money off of you, by selling you all kinds of souvenirs and trinkets and all that kind of thing. As long as you stay with the tour, you're going to see a very selected, isolated view of Israel. And these Christians go over there and they take these tours and they come back and they, oh, it's a wonderful experience. And there's freedom in Israel, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And that's just a lie. There's no freedom. And so I had an opportunity. I was a tour guide it was a large tour, and I was one of the tour guides in that particular thing. And so I had a little bit of extra freedom to do things. So I decided, you know, we had free time here and there, and I decided, you know, I'm going to get away from the tour plan, and I'm just going to mosey out into Jerusalem itself by myself and just walk around. So that's what I did. And boy, was it an eye-opening experience. I didn't get very far away from the tour area and got into the inner city of Jerusalem, the industrial city or the commercial city, whatever you want to call it. And of course, immediately people recognized me as being American. And they did the same thing to me that those videos showed, you know, earlier before October 7th. You know, little kids would come up and kick dust in my feet, and they would yell at me and curse me and kick me. And, you know, elderly women, like up in their 80s and 90s, would come up to me and spit at me and give me the middle finger. And, you know, just, and this went on, I mean, just, every block or so, somebody was coming up and cursing me and yelling at me and kicking dust in my feet and kicking me and spitting on me. And, you know, and this was the real Israel. Now, this was what the people of Israel really think about Christian Americans. I mean, obviously, they figured that I was there on the tour and I was walking around. And so this idea that Israel is some kind of friend to Christians and Christianity, is one of the greatest misnomers that modern Christians in America believe. See, as long as you're with the tour group, they'll treat you like gold. You know, the bus drivers and the waiters and the waitresses and the people in the restaurants and the people in the hotels and transportation industry and, you know, the people that own the shops where you're going to go visit and all that. They're going to treat you like royalty because they want your Yankee dollars. They're doing it for money. You get away from that and you get into the real Jerusalem, the real Israel, and they hate America and they hate Christians. And the whole concept of Israel being a friend of the United States is a counterfeit imposter of what the truth is. And American Christians have no idea of anything such as that. And so I think that's important as a background for people to understand what's really happening in Israel and has been since it became a Zionist state.
You know, I would hasten to worry about the quality of food that they may be bringing me. I mean, who's to say that they didn't spit on your food in the kitchen? Because you're right. They hate Christians. There were two politicians in the Knesset, a couple of Chabad Lubavitchers, that proposed a bill that if anybody was caught proselytizing Jesus to a Jew, that they would be fined and imprisoned. And that's exactly how they feel about anybody that believes that Jesus is the Messiah. They are so antichrist.
They are antichrist. And my broadcast, we live stream, as you know, every Sunday afternoon, our broadcast, which goes around the world. And God has given us favor with people around the country and around the world. We have so many thousands of people that are watching every week. And we have people, believe it or not, we have Palestinians and Israelis that watch Liberty Fellowship on Sunday. And we've had several Israelis that have come to Christ as Savior through watching our messages on Liberty Fellowship. And let me just tell the story of the first one that wrote and told me about his conversion. This is several years ago. And I won't even mention his name on the radio show because I made that mistake on air. Let me tell you what happened. So this is Israeli, born and raised, and he'd been watching Liberty Fellowship, and he came to Christ. And boy, he was excited about his faith in the Lord. And he began doing what all new Christians automatically do. They want to tell their friends and loved ones about Jesus. And that's what he started doing. He started witnessing to his friends and neighbors and loved ones and coworkers, et cetera, about the Lord and how he got saved and what Jesus meant to him and so forth. Well, he wrote me this and told me that he had gotten saved and done this. And I never read last names when I read letters on air, but I did read his first name. And I found out that was a mistake. So after I read his letter on camera, and it was, of course, his broadcast all over the world, just by reading his first name, the Israeli authorities were able to figure out who he was. And they arrested him. They beat him almost to death. They threw him in prison. They fed him with bread and water. And I don't know how many months he was in prison and how long it took him to recuperate from his injuries. But eventually, many months later, he wrote back and told me what happened. And so I never made that mistake again. Anytime I get a letter from someone in Palestine, whether it's a Palestinian or Israeli, I never read even the first name because the Israeli authorities are monitoring Christian media in this country very, very closely. And if they discover one of their own that has converted to Christ or has become sympathetic to the Palestinian cause or is an outspoken Palestinian that's making, you know, the truth known to the Western world, they will track that person down and they will do to them what they did to this first person I'm telling you about. And that's a true story, Jerry. I mean, this is reality. This is what Israel is really all about. Let me go back to what I was talking about with Colonel McGregor. Because as we were talking, I was trying to find his quote and I was struggling. Now I found it. This is what McGregor said about, and this again, Colonel McGregor, retired U.S. Army, winner of the, recipient of the Bronze Star, war hero. He's been on Fox News probably 50 times or more. Tucker Carlson had him on all the time. He's known for his international affairs expertise, of course. He said, now there are people in Washington inside the White House who were afraid. What they've done is effectively opened the cage door and released the tiger. The tiger doesn't want to go back into the cage. The tiger wants to finish off everybody in the neighborhood. The tiger is Netanyahu. I'm quoting McGregor. And he has concluded that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. We, Israel, have enormous control and influence over the United States, over its armed forces, its military power, its economic power. And I know that the NSC staff and National Security Advisor are very afraid. Again, this is Colonel McGregor. They have a tiger wandering through the neighborhood, and they can't get it back in the cage because the tiger controls them. Listen to that statement again. The NSC, National Security Advisor, the White House, are very afraid because the tiger controls them. It's sort of wag the dog. We're the dog. We're being wagged. The dog is not in charge of his tail. And then the last statement he said here, Israel is killing itself, and we can't stop them. Mm. So this is the kind of truth that the evangelical Christian community in America has purposely chosen to ignore and refuses to acknowledge.
Now, I was talking with Pat McShay last week. He said that Netanyahu held up a map, and I don't remember if it was before the UN or if it was somewhere else, but he held up a map, and it had Israel, but there was no Palestine,
mm-hmm.
nowhere to be found.
Yes.
And that's the tiger. That's the lion. It's out to just utterly eradicate an entire population. I'm with you. I would love to see the demographics breakdown on the population that they have attacked. Cause in my heart of hearts, I believe with you, Chuck, is they know exactly where the Christian enclaves are. And I'm sure that they're one of the first ones that they were bombing. Anything that a Christian had to do, like the Christian hospital, they got blown up. I am sure that the Mossad and the IDF knew exactly where these people were, and they were public enemy number one.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Mm. Well, we know that two Christian hospitals were bombed and destroyed. That's a matter of fact. One of them was a Baptist hospital. You know, since 1948, the Israeli army has murdered over 5 million Palestinian people. Now, let that number sink in.
5 million.
5 million. Jerry, if that's not a Holocaust, what is?
I don't know. That, poof.
But if you refer to the ethnic cleansing that Israel has committed in Palestine as a Holocaust, you'll be labeled every dirty name in the book. But that's exactly what it is. It's a Holocaust.
Okay, that's going to take care of the first half. My guest today is Pastor Chuck Baldwin. We're going to have to take a brief pause, and when we come back, Pastor Baldwin and I are going to dive right back in. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay with us, won't you? We'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book written by Ilan Pappe entitled The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. The 1948 Israeli War of Independence involved one of the largest forced migrations in modern history. Around 1 million people were expelled from their homes at gunpoint. Civilians were massacred. Hundreds of Palestinian villages were destroyed. Denied for almost 6 decades, had it happened today, it could only have been called ethnic cleansing. In this groundbreaking book, renowned Israeli historian Ilan Pappe offers impressive archival evidence to demonstrate that from its very inception, a central plank in Israel's founding ideology was the forcible removal of the indigenous population, a strategy that continues to the present day. You need a copy of The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. It's 320 pages, and we're only asking $20. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $26. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. You can phone us on our regular line, which is 512-263-9780. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use these charge cards at our secure shopping cart, powerofprophecy.com. And if you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. Now let's continue with my interview with Pastor Chuck Baldwin.
We cannot fathom the hatred and the bloodlust within the hearts of the Zionists and the Zionist movement from the very beginning up to the present time, including Benjamin Netanyahu, that they have for all Goyim in general, but Christians in particular, and Muslims who inhabit the Palestinian area. So this is a completely one-sided affair where the Zionist Israelis get a free pass from the American media, from the American government, from evangelical Americans, to do anything they want to do with total impunity. There's no accountability, as you said, for any atrocity that they have ever committed, and there's no accountability for the atrocities that they're committing now. So that leaves this thing back to God, because God will not be mocked, and Israel is not the promised land today. The only promised land in the new covenant is the new Jerusalem. The real Jerusalem, the old covenant Jerusalem, was destroyed in 70 AD. The Jerusalem that exists today is not the Jerusalem of the Bible, and it's not the Jerusalem of prophecy. The Jerusalem that exists today was built by the Roman Emperor Hadrian in 135 AD. He named it Elia Capitolina. Elia is the clan name for his family, and Capitolina references the god of Jupiter. So basically, Hadrian built the city, and it was the city of Hadrian and Jupiter. And that's the city that currently exists in Palestine today. That's the city that all these pilgrimages are taken to. That's the city that they call Jerusalem. That's the city they call the Holy City. That's the city they talk about prophecy. That's the city where they talk about all these biblical things. It's a Roman-built city. The original city of Jerusalem, the city of David, was totally annihilated by the Roman forces under Titus and Vespasian in 70 AD.
Not one stone upon another.
Not one stone upon another. The historians write that years after Jerusalem was destroyed, people from other parts of the world would be traveling through the area. They would walk over the remains of the city of Jerusalem, and they would not even know, they would not even realize that they were walking over what was once the great city of Jerusalem. That's how badly it was destroyed. And ground to powder is the term that I used in the message, and I used it from Jesus in Matthew 21, who was talking to the Pharisees, and he said to them, you will be ground to powder. And when he said, when he's talking to them, he was talking about their temple, he was talking about their city, he was talking about their religion, everything. And that was the term Jesus used about them. They'll be ground to powder. And that's exactly what happened. It was ground to powder. And so this city that's there now, it's a Roman city. The walls that were built around the, quote, old city of Jerusalem were built by Suleiman the Magnificent of the Ottoman Empire in 1516. So, Jerry, you've got a Roman city, and you got Ottoman walls, and that's the holy city that Christians are talking about today as being the Holy Land, the city of Jerusalem, the Promised Land. You know, the Christians are so ignorant of the New Covenant. They don't understand anything about it. And, you know, it took me a long time. You know, I have to confess, I was just as ignorant as anybody else. I mean, you know my story. For over 30 years, I was ignorant of Israel and the New Covenant. And through a series of miraculous workings of God in my heart, he brought me to the realization of Israel, the true meaning of it, and the New Covenant. And people don't have any understanding of the New Covenant. The Old Covenant is abolished. It's gone. It's destroyed forever. It'll never rise again. The New Covenant will live forever. And the city of the New Covenant is the New Jerusalem in heaven. This is the New Jerusalem that the saints of the New Covenant are going to live in forever and ever. The old Jerusalem is gone. It'll never, ever reappear. And people are treating the city of Jerusalem, the Roman-built city of Jerusalem that's there now, as the Old Testament city of Jerusalem. They call it the city of David still. And they almost idolize the city. In fact, I would make the contention that they do idolize the city. They made an idol out of Israel. They made an idol out of this Roman city of Jerusalem. They don't understand the New Covenant whatsoever. And so the result of this is a total capitulation of the church to all things Zionism. And what's amazing, I could go on and on, but what's amazing about this, Jerry, is that if you go online, I challenge your listeners to go online and use whatever search engine you use and plug in the word something like, let's just say, Orthodox rabbis and Zionism. Just take words like that. Orthodox rabbis and Zionism. Plug it into your Google search engine or whatever search engine you use and see what comes up. And then sit there for a couple hours and read and watch what you're going to see in front of you. The vast majority of Orthodox rabbis hate Zionism. They hate Benjamin Netanyahu. They hate the Zionist government. They hate what Israel is doing against the Palestinians. You will watch Orthodox rabbis protesting the Zionist government with Palestinians. That's right. Orthodox Jewish rabbis protesting the Zionist government alongside Palestinian people. And there are copious videos of that online. There are copious videos of rabbis who come out publicly and talk about the evil of Zionism. They talk about the evil of Israel. Orthodox Judaism believes that there can be no national Israel until Messiah returns. And so to them, these Orthodox rabbis, the state of Israel that was invented in 1948, is an evil counterfeit of real Israel. It is. but they hate it. And they protest it all the time. In fact, you will find videos. I mean, don't take my word for this, people. Go online and watch it for yourself. You will see Israeli military police officers beating up Jewish Orthodox rabbis in the streets of Jerusalem, beating them up with clubs. I mean, they have no mercy on them. They hate these Orthodox rabbis. And the Orthodox rabbis hate the Zionists. And Christians have no comprehension whatsoever that there are Orthodox Jewish rabbis that despise the Zionist government and despise Benjamin Netanyahu and despise the treatment that Israel inflicts upon the Palestinian people. And they come to the assistance of the Palestinian people. And this has been going on ever since Israel became a state in 1948. And you won't see that on the news. You won't hear John Hagee talk about it. You won't hear any of the evangelical TV preachers talk about it. They're all pandering to the Zionist state of Israel. They're getting wealthy off of pandering to the Zionist state of Israel.
Yeah, you know, Tex told me a story. He was at a conference with Arnold Froese, and Arnold sat down to dinner with their wives, and he told Tex, he said, Tex, you know, if you would like to increase the size of your coffers, you need to be pro-Israel. You can't say anything bad about the nation of Israel. But if you're pro-Israel, you will be rewarded immensely, handsomely, and your coffers will overflow.
I traveled with Dr. Jerry Falwell for many years back in the 80s. I was the executive director of the Florida Moral Majority. As such, I attended many of the national meetings at the moral majority level in Washington, D.C., met President Reagan and at that time Vice President Bush and Pat Buchanan and all the, well, not all, but many of the cabinet members and many of the people that were surrounding President Reagan. Had several meetings there at that time. I was extremely involved in that movement. I was there from the beginning. I saw it from day number one, and this is a whole different story that we're getting into, but it illustrates what you just said. I traveled with Jerry on his private jet to several meetings. I accompanied him to overseas events. I was on his Old Time Gospel Hour television program. He featured me in his Liberty Journal. I was one of his young champions for Christ, quote unquote, that he used to talk about, because I was in the first graduating class of Liberty University. So my experience of the man and the movement was firsthand and very intimate. And I came later to discover that the jet that I had been flying around in, the jet that Jerry flew all over the world in, was given to him by Israel. And you can bet that these major televangelists who are promoting the Zionist agenda, like men like Hagee, they are being rewarded extremely handsomely from the Israeli government for that service. You can just take it to the bank.
Yeah. It perpetuates the the narrative that they're God's chosen. Excuse me. You know, in the Bible it tells us God is no respecter of persons. So the Talmud tells the Jews that the best of the Gentiles kill. You know, Michael Hoffman has an outstanding book on Judaism.
Yes, Judaism, Strange Gods. We carry that book on our online store at libertyfellowship.com.
Yeah, I love Michael, and it's such a powerful book. I'm glad that we carry it as well.
Oh, terrific. Good.
Because so many people need to know these truths, Chuck. I mean, the fact that you went off the tour and you got to experience firsthand how the Israelis actually feel about our country and you as a pastor, as a Christian man, obviously you're the enemy. You mentioned the walls and the segments, and what does the Talmud call non-Jews? Goyim? Cattle? Beasts?
Yes. Yes.
It fits if your eyes are open to see and your ears are open to hear.
Well, and what do these Christians do with Romans 2:28-29? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly or biologically. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, meaning spiritually. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, the law, the Old Testament law, whose praise is not of men but God. What do they do with that?
They don't study.
He is not a Jew, which is one biologically. He is a Jew, which is one spiritually, through faith in Christ, of course.
Yep.
You know, Romans 9, verses 6 through 8, not as though the word of God had taken not effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Meaning they're not Israel because they were born Israelites. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham, biologically, are they the children of God. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Meaning the promise of Christ and salvation through faith in him.
Amen.
What do Christians do with the... I mean, and we could go on and on. In the books of Romans and the books of Galatians and Hebrews, talking about the old covenant being dead, which includes the whole God's chosen people being the Israelite nation, that's dead. Christ has given us the new covenant, whereby all men, regardless of race, are the chosen of God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are the children of promise through Christ. Genesis 12:3, that verse they use to say, you know, God will bless us if we bless Zionist Israel, doesn't say that at all. Galatians 3:16 makes it very clear that the promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis 12:3 was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. It's not fulfilled in those Zionists living over in Palestine today. They're not the fulfillment of the promise God gave to Abraham. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promise that God gave to Abraham. And through faith in Christ, we have become participants in the promise that God gave to Abraham. that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, because we are in Christ. If we are in Christ, then we have become the promise that God gave to Abraham, because the promise was fulfilled in Christ. And if we are in Christ, we are part of that promise. This is not a racial issue anymore. This is not a national issue anymore. The national nation of the national Israel is non-existent. Racial Israel is non-existent. It hasn't existed since the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. None of that is part of reality under the new covenant. It's all abolished. The new covenant brings everyone as one who bring their faith in Jesus Christ, who put their faith in Christ.
Amen.
We are the children of God. We are the children of Abraham. We are the children of promise. We are God's chosen people. Everyone, no matter what race we are, what biology we are, what ethnicity we are, when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, we become part of that new covenant promise that God gave to Jesus.
Like Paul said,
fulfilling the promise that God gave to Abraham.
Like Paul said, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs
Amen.
According to the promise.
That's right.
It's not rocket science, but, you know, a lot of these evangelical pastors are perfect examples. You know, I worked for a gentleman who told me, Jerry, you can pencil whip any problem to come out to the solution that you desire. And that's what they've done. They've removed verses from the Bible because it doesn't fit their narrative.
They're living in the Old Testament. You know, we could talk about this for another hour. It's really true. They are living in the Old Testament. And as I've tried to explain in my prophecy messages, and I'm going to be bringing number 18 here real soon, a week from Sunday, on chapter 13 of Revelation, the beast and the mark and the number and all that. They explain the New Testament by the Old Testament. Let me phrase it another way. To them, the Old Testament explains the New Testament. That's how they interpret Scripture, which is utterly absurd. When they do that, they are actually ignoring the New Covenant's superiority over the Old Covenant. The entire book of Hebrews, which was, of course, written to Hebrew Christians, who had all of this lifelong loyalty to the Old Covenant standards and scriptures and ceremonies and laws and feast days and new moons and Sabbaths and all of that, which has all been abolished under the New Covenant. They had a hard time with that. That's why Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. The entire book of Hebrews is to explain to the Hebrew Christians of the early church the supremacy of the new covenant over the old covenant. But today's evangelicals, they haven't gotten it. The Scofield notes of the Scofield Reference Bible has warped and ruined proper biblical exegesis in the evangelical churches, because now they're using the old covenant to explain the New Testament. So if there's anything that doesn't fit, they revert back to the Old Testament, and they choose that as being applicable to the New Covenant believer and the New Covenant scripture and promise under Christ. How can you do that? It's like the church, the body of Christ, is a living body. It is the life of Christ in the body of Christ through the death and resurrection of Christ. The old covenant law is abolished. The old covenant is a dead, rotting corpse. What these preachers are doing on Sunday when they get up and talk about all these old covenant things, and they make them applicable to Christians today as if we are still under the old covenant. If you can visualize, they're bringing out an old, dead, rotting corpse, and they're putting it on the podium, and they're saying, "Here, this is what we're all about." And they're honoring this corpse, and they're trying to say that we should conform ourselves to this dead, rotting corpse of the old covenant. It's one of the most bizarre things that could ever take place inside the church. The New Testament was written to try and convince believers that the old covenant had been abolished and fulfilled. You know, people call me sometimes a replacement.
Right.
I'm not a replacement. Nothing could replace Old Testament Israel. Who and what would want to replace Old Testament Israel? It's irreplaceable. To replace nothing. I am a fulfillment Christian. The old covenant has been fulfilled. It hasn't been replaced. It's been fulfilled. Something that is fulfilled is abolished. It's gone. And the new covenant is now that which God has given to us as new covenant Christian believers in the promise through Christ. So entire evangelical community, with rare exceptions, thank God for the exceptions, are worshiping an old covenant doctrine, an old covenant theology. And they're mixing it in with the New Testament and new covenant teaching. And what they come up with is a hodgepodge of nonsense because they don't understand the new covenant. And Jerry, until the preachers of America began to recognize the old covenant is dead, the new covenant is alive and will live forever, and we are under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, and that takes in everything about Israel. And I think really that's probably why they don't want to know the new covenant, is because they don't want to give up this idolatry they have of Israel.
We're not supposed to put anything above God, but these people have, and it's to their detriment. And, you know, Chuck, we've flown through an hour. I want to thank you so much for taking your time and coming on and being a guest of Power Prophecy. I love talking with you.
I love talking with you, Jerry, and I thank you for what you're doing and all the people that you have that follow you and support you. I thank God for that. And can I give my website real quick for folks?
Yes, sir. I was about to ask you to.
Yeah, our fellowship address, Liberty Fellowship MT, that stands for Montana.com. Liberty Fellowship MT.com. My Israel packages are there. 31 messages on the true biblical Israel. And then we're right now going through the prophecy series. I've preached 17 prophecy messages so far. Number 18 will be coming up in a couple of weeks from chapter 13 of Revelation. They are online, as well as all of our books that we talk about and the messages explaining all of this. And, you know, I encourage people to get those two packages, the prophecy package and the Israel package. And thank you very much, Jerry, for letting me spend this time with you.
It's a blessing, Chuck. It really is. Thank you, my friend. You have a great Thanksgiving, and God bless you and the family.
Amen. Same thing to you.
Thank you, brother. That's going to take care of today's program. My guest today has been Pastor Chuck Baldwin. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving us an hour of your time, and I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.